Triple M Rocks Sunday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
In 2017.
It's a try!
Run hard and tackle hard.
You'll hear more footy than ever before. Across the Triple M network. Yeah. For Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis, Ryan Girdler and Anthony Maroon.
It's what rugby league's all about. Go!
Triple M rocks the footy.
This is Sunday Triple M NRL.
Oh, yes, it is what rugby league is all about. Leichhardt Oval, a venue today in beautiful suburban Sydney. Clear blue skies. The ground looks absolutely delightful for this game out here this afternoon. Our match of the day, the Tigers, the West Tigers up against Manly. That'll be at 4 o'clock this afternoon, and we'll get more to that a little bit later on. But right now, my name is Anthony Maroon. We're here for Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. Our number is 133353. Joining me in the commentary box for Sunday Triple M NRL, the sausage cook extraordinaire, Ryan Girdler. How did everything go yesterday at the German school?
It went really well, thanks, Maroon. Great to be here.
I did hear a story. Somebody dropped some sausage fat or something on
your bloke next to me dropped the sausage on my shoes, and obviously there was a little bit of fat in the sausage. But PK can tell you about how much fat's in the sausage, because he took one on last night. He was one of my customers.
Paul Kent, you were at the same thing.
Our daughters go to the same school.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Yes.
What would you give
the sausage? He was cooking waffles around the corner. I was on the side.
He looks like a waffle maker.
Yeah.
You look like a waffle eater.
One for you, one
look
for
at
me.
Him.
One
he
for you.
Doesn't like it, either.
You look like a waffle eater.
Not waffle for you. Anyone to be correct. Not waffle for you.
And Gordon Tallis, mate, you've arrived. Like, you're just a bag of energy today. Have you got 5 hours left in you?
Absolutely.
Okay, and you're all well? Everything's well?
Yeah, it's a beautiful day, isn't it? Like, summer's probably arrived a little bit early. It was about 28 degrees in Brisbane yesterday, and it's a gorgeous day down here. And
no, it feels like finals, this kind of weather, doesn't it? Absolutely. Feels like spring and
no
final
better venue,
footy.
Isn't it? So Manly need to cement what they did last week, and the Tigers are obviously playing for a little bit of redemption.
All right, Sunday Triple M NRL, there they are. Gordy Tallis, Ryan Girdler, Paul Kent, Maroon. So far this round, Rabbitohs 28, Dogs 14. We will talk about the Dogs today. Knights 3 in a row with a 29-10 win over Para. Broncos 32, Sharks 10. Dragons 42, Titans 16. Obviously, we'll talk more about the Titans in the course of the afternoon as well. Lots of dramas coming out of the Gold Coast. Storm 16 over the Roosters 13. And Penrith way up in the 8 now with a 24-16 win over the North Queensland Cowboys. So that's what's going on in the state of rugby league. Let's have a look at what's in the papers this morning as you get up and have a late breakfast and open them up. The two main things, I guess. The first one is... Well, the nice story, Benji Marshall is set to make a return to the West Tigers. Of course, he started there, went to the Auckland Blues to play rugby, a stint at the Dragons, and a stint at the Brisbane Broncos, but he'll finish off almost in his mid-30s. Gordy, a return home to the West Tigers. What does he offer the West Tigers?
Oh, well, he'll offer them experience, and I think his last year at the Broncos has been pretty impressive. He's playing more direct, he's straightening the attack, and Benji looks a little bit fitter, and he's found that love again for the game at the Dragons. Sometimes you just don't fit into certain structures or game plans, so it's fitting for Benji to come home. And if he wants to play again, if he's prepared to do the hard work in the preseason, there's no doubt that he's got a bit to offer any footy side, Benji.
And yeah, I think it works for many reasons. I think the fact that Benji gets to retire now at the club he began his career is just a nice touch. Look, I don't think they're going to have any great success, but for sentimental reasons, it'll be nice seeing him finish his career now in a Tigers jersey. I also think what he brings to the Tigers is what he's done in his most recent years at the Broncos and then at St. George Illawarra is he's just been that figure around the club who set the example for young kids. We all know, look, I was involved in the blow-up at the beginning of the year about when Wayne Bennett sat him next to Anthony Milford at training, and basically Benji was doing shorts in the weight room and on the training paddock. Instead of doing 10, he'd only do punch out 8 bench presses or whatever. And Benji was like, mate, that's not the way you make it as a first grade footballer. You take shortcuts now, you won't make it. And for all the natural talent Anthony Milford's got, I think he has benefited by having Benji with him, showing him how a professional player is supposed to behave. And I think Ivan Cleary really needs that at this club. This is a club that's going through something of a transformation. It's a club that has lost its way in many ways, you know, from the recruitment policy to the way they structure their salary cap. So there's a whole host of reasons why the Tigers have gone off track. But I think now with Justin Pascoe leading the club as chief executive, with Ivan Cleary here as the head coach, they've actually got some understanding on what they need to put together. So Benji is a deliberate tactic to bring in somebody who understands the requirements of professional rugby league, who will be a positive example around the club and will lead the club. He won't be around when they win a premiership, but he will help turn it around. And so when they eventually do, part of the thank yous will go to Benji.
Yeah, and I think Benji, and it takes a while to realise, is, you know, that when they first start writing about you, that all those flick passes and that Benji tried to be and the big stepping guy, that sort of left him now that he's, you know, in his mid-30s by the time he gets here. But Benji's playing more direct. He realises now that it's his passing game and his kicking game and his game management, not so much the athleticism and the brilliance that he used to bring to a game. And once you realise that and you stop trying to be the guy that everybody writes about, you become a better football player.
And look who he's going to be, obviously, mentoring next year, Luke Brooks and Lola here. I mean, probably a young Kiwi guy growing up, Benji would have been his idol. Yeah. And I think Ivan's seen the fact that Luke Brooks is, I think he's developed under Ivan in the last 6 or 7 weeks, but he's still a ways to go, I think, for Luke. And Lola here, well, he's just basically, you know, 4 weeks in. And if they're going to play him at six, well, what a great way to, you know, get him educated with Benji coming over and been able to sort of fill that role as well, with Lola here possibly going back to the bench, or then, because he's such a versatile player.
And the one thing that everybody underestimates about Benji is his football intelligence, and the other piece to the puzzle is Josh Reynolds. So when Josh Reynolds arrives at the club, Benji will be there, and I think Benji will be a calming influence. I think Josh Reynolds is the type of guy who needs somebody next to him just saying, listen, mate, calm down. This is all we've got to do this set. This is all we need to do. We just need to get to that point. We need to put the ball off a kick into that corner and set up for the next set. And Josh Reynolds, I think, is incapable of doing that. I think that's been a big problem for all the energy and enthusiasm he brings to the Bulldogs. I think that's a big part of their problem, is that there's nothing structural about how they set up their sets and how they finish their sets, whereas Benji will be able to do that and be able to basically stand and have the authority next to Josh Reynolds to actually say, listen, mate, that's not what we're doing here. We're going to go this way. We're going to punch three up the middle, and then we're going to kick early. We're going to get to the corner, and then we're going to jam in and defend and try and keep him up there in.
I reckon Ivan might have had a chat to Benji too about possibly playing nine a little bit. You know, if he's going to come off the bench, and I actually forgot about Josh Reynolds there, he's obviously going to be there six. So, you know, you'd have to think if Benji's going to come back and contribute to the team, well, he's going to have to put his head in some different places. And maybe number nine would be...
Well, maybe Josh Reynolds at number nine. I've just watched Ben Hunt. Well, like, I watched Ben Hunt go from seven, and, you know, he got Brisbane to the grand final, and he was brilliant that year. At number nine, I think he could be the best... I reckon he could take over from Cameron Smith and be the Australian number nine.
All right. Well, there's the boys talking about Benji Marshall returning to the West Tigers for season 2018, where he debuted back in 2003. Sunday Triple M NRL, just having a look at what's in the papers, what's been in the papers this morning. So this Gold Coast debacle is just an absolute drama. There's plenty of places we could start with this. Now, we'll start with Michael Carayannis writes an article today in the Sunday Telly. And the first paragraph of this is just one of the many, many problems coming out of the Gold Coast at the moment. Gold Coast star Jarryd Hayne has sensationally claimed he is willing to walk away from the club if Neil Henry does not want him, revealing the coach refused to talk to him in the lead-up to yesterday's loss to St George Illawarra. They seem to be in all sorts at the moment, Paul Kent, and I did even hear some stories, just some rumours floating around yesterday, that possibly Neil Henry might not survive there another week.
Look, I haven't heard that one. That's a good one, Maroon, if that's right.
Little Bay, that one came. The streets of Little Bay, that one.
Streets of Little Bay.
No.
The Little Bay Whisperer.
No, Corridors of Long Bay. You heard that one.
Yeah. I read it in the Little Bay Gazette yesterday.
When he was eating pomegranates.
Yeah, look, I don't know what's going to happen. I doubt very much that'll happen. I spoke to Graham Annesley during the week, and I said to him, I asked him how he was going to solve this, and he just said, look, and I think it's correct management. He just said, look, this isn't my decision at the moment. He said, we have a board meeting at the end of this month. He said, now it's a scheduled board meeting that's been on the agenda the entire year. So he said, he actually spoke to Neil, and he said to Neil, this board meeting's coming up. It's already been penciled in a long, long time ago. Don't think it's anything different than what it normally is. Clearly, that will be discussed at the board meeting, but it's not a board meeting, as some will try and interpret if some at some point they don't do their homework. That's not a board meeting called to sack Neil Henry. So that's not the case. They will certainly discuss it, and at some point they will have to try and figure out a solution to this. Now, the ideal solution for the Titans is that Neil Henry and Jared Hayne work it out. That's their hope, that they can.
What's essentially the problem there, Paul?
Essentially, the problem is it's a different philosophical way about how they do their business, because Neil has been a player. Neil's a coach who likes to not spend too much on star players and have, for example, the Melbourne system. Melbourne operate where they have three players on very big money. They have a couple more just under that who are four players on big money, then a couple under that who are on reasonable money, but then you have a lot of young kids coming through and a lot of journeymen who can't command much on the market but go to Melbourne thinking, I have two or three good years at Melbourne, then my market value goes up and then I can move on elsewhere. And Craig Bellamy is quite happy to operate on that system. Neil Henry likes to spread the talent. So rather than have the money put into a couple of star players, he likes to spread the talent across the roster, and therefore the money's got to be spread. So there's not too much paid for certain guys, there's not too little paid for certain guys. And it's a different philosophy. Other coaches have got the same philosophy as Neil. Some try to have more a Bellamy-like philosophy, and some operate somewhere in between. But once Jared Hayne came to the market, the Titans looked at the marketing possibilities and the sponsorships and all the rest of it and thought, this guy's too good to let go. They'd lost Cherry Evans. They felt there was a need there for a bit of a big kill. And so they went hard after Jared Hayne. Now, Neil Henry was not particularly interested in signing Jared Hayne because he didn't want too much of the salary cap pushed into one player. And this has been Jared's problem. Jared, other than 2009 when he had that extraordinary finish to the season, Jared has always been at a club where he's been very well paid, where you could argue the percentage of money that goes into him as the star player doesn't get the ideal return because he doesn't produce consistently. Yeah. He's not a Cameron Smith. For a marquee player like a Jonathan Thurston and a Cameron Smith, you have to produce consistently. And Jared has never done that. So that's why I think there's been this basically a following of underperformance wherever he's been at Parramatta. I wrote a story on Saturday where Parramatta, no coach lasted more than two seasons when Jared was in the team. That's coaches who inherited him, that's coaches who re-signed him. That's because so much of their salary cap was invested in one player that you had to then really be careful, and you had to really basically sacrifice in other areas of your roster to accommodate Jared Hayne, and therefore you didn't have the success when he wasn't firing and producing like his salary dictates he should. You suddenly found problems.
Yeah. It's not just an investment, though, PK, is it, that you make on the field? It's an investment when you go to a marquee player that you make holistically, that you need a guy that's going to work with you on building this club and making it successful, not pulling against you. And then if he's pulling against you and working, and it's working on weekends and he's performing, you probably got to chew down on that as long as he's getting his job done. But you would love your million-dollar player to be a guy that's in the office talking to you about, you know, different ways to play the game, different players, how we can get better. He's not doing that. So essentially, the money that they've spent on their marquee player isn't value for money on the field or in the office.
No, well, I think off the field, Jared did work. I think, you know, like when you live
marketing
in Queensland,
wise.
Yeah, because like when you live in Queensland and you realise, and I saw an article today in the paper how, you know, the Giants out here have spent like $120 million. Well, that $120 million has been spent on the Gold Coast as well to get the Gold Coast Suns up. And they had Gary Ablett, and he was a $10 million buy, like, you know, Sydney had Buddy Franklin. Well, Jared Hayne had more publicity. So, you know, and then the boss of the Suns go, oh, my God, the Titans, you bought a broken-down, you know, Fijian sevens player, and he got more headlines. So Jared Hayne was brilliant. I think all the ticket sales went up. So from off the field, and I think it was a lotto ticket that you had to buy, because if Jared Hayne did buy in, and if Jared Hayne worked hard, and if Jared Hayne did perform, it would have been brilliant for the Gold Coast area. And the problem with Jared is, just sort of watching him, you've got to pay the price. And I fell in love with his talent. I I absolutely
Everybody
love
Everybody did Gordon.
Yeah, but you still got to pay a price when you got that talent. And just watching him play State of Origin, Justin Hodges had a crack at him. I thought, well, this is going to make Jared. You know what I mean? So, like, then sitting there watching the times, I'm thinking, well, that's the, you know, that's a little poke that Jared might have needed. And then he hasn't gone on. So I think Jared's got a real decision to make whether he wants to pay the price off the field in training and getting himself ready, because the NRL has changed in the time that he left to the time he's come back. It is.
I don't think it has, Gordon.
No, but like it has.
I don't think the game's changed. The elite players have always done the same things on and off the field. It has. I know.
But you can't get through a natural talent anymore.
You can't, mate. No, you couldn't since the 90s. I mean, you could maybe get through. Well, Jared will always get through.
He was getting over because if
Jared will get through on his talent. Yeah, but he will only be the player that he can be if he works hard away from the game.
He'll never be that $1.2 million value player if he sits there and thinks he can get by merely on his talent. Well, he needs to put in, and that's... See, and that's what so the short answer to the long question explanation we've given there, Maroon, is that there's a difference in philosophy between Jared. Jared doesn't, I don't know whether he doesn't want to do the hard work or whether his body's incapable of doing the hard work, and whether he's, you know, Jared never did. Or you talk to players and you talk about how when they're young they've got to go out and they've got to get the miles in their legs and they've got to do all the hard training early so they've got the miles in their legs, and then when they get older all they need to do is just basically freshen up on that. And on that bit, a training base. Jared never particularly did that as a young kid, so he wouldn't have a base like, say, Cameron Smith or a Billy Slater would, because he never worked as hard as those guys. And now that Neil Henry's at training, he's trying to get Jared to be an example for young kids who want to be great like Ash Taylor. Look at Jared Hayne, who's been there, done it all, look what he's doing. But he can't say that.
Yeah.
Because Jared's not doing it. Every time they start to train hard in the off season, Jared bends down and does up his shoelaces or says he's got to go to the loo, and he walks off the training paddock, and to the point they literally locked the toilets so he couldn't get in there and said, mate, sorry, you can't get in there. And they pretended they didn't have the key and they said, mate, you got to get back out and train. And Jared had to go back out and train, but meanwhile he missed one of the sprints. So yeah, that's why it worked.
I just hope for Jared Haynes' legacy.
Poor guy's got a bad bladder.
Yeah. I just hope for, you know, because Jared Hayne came out.
Too much fibre, I think it was.
And in 2009, like, it was brilliant. And then I don't think I have watched a player go on a run when it was a 9 or 10 game run. Then in 2014, like, he won a Dally M medal. So like, he's got talent. I just hope that his legacy, I just hope that he goes away, he has a real good think, he trains hard, gets himself in some sort of condition where he can play 26 rounds of NRL next year. And then we remember Jared Hayne as the person that we all want to remember him as.
But before we get there, Gordon, there is this issue to sort out. Because Neil, I said on 360 earlier in the week, I said Neil didn't want him at the Titans. And Neil was asked about it the next day. And the easy answer for Neil is to say, that's wrong. And we see that a lot. Even though something is right, the easy answer is to say, no, that's wrong. I've never said that. Neil was asked several times in various ways about it. And every time he said, it's a collective decision here, recruitment. That's all I'll say. So he put himself in with the club, but he didn't say it was his decision. And it was a confirmation that he doesn't fit with Neil. So the Titans have now got to figure out if they can make these two guys work. Now, I don't think Jared's got anywhere else to go. I don't think he can go to another NRL club.
And he says he'll walk.
He says he'll walk, okay? I think that the best solution, and if I'm Wayne Beavis, Jared's manager right now, I'm exploring something like French rugby. I think the toll on his body is much less. I think he'll have more seasons there. He will be as well paid, and it adds to the Jared Hayne legend of going to the NFL and playing Fijian Sevens. Now he's going to French rugby. This guy could do everything. Mm. Why wouldn't you want to sponsor him corporately? Okay, so it dovetails into that if I'm managing him. It also gets him out of the NRL, where I think Jared will continue to be a guy who we only ever see the real, or the one we remember occasionally, because I don't think he's got, I just don't think physically he's got it in him to do it every week like it's required to do. I don't think the body is there to do it every week. And I think that's what his offer to walk out on the Titans was actually about, because he can't do what Neil Henry requires him to do, and quite rightly requires him to do, as a coach who sees about 12-15% of his salary cap tied up into one player. So that's Neil's issue. Neil's issue is not about coaching a player. Neil's issue is, but I've spent so much money on this guy, I've got to get return out of it. And if he's not getting a return, He needs to be able to say, well, mate, we need to fix something, because I say this multiple times. A lot of people argue about why did we sign this guy and why haven't we got rid of that guy and all the rest of it. It's all about value in the salary cap. The clubs that get value in the salary cap are the clubs that are successful. So if you're paying $400,000 for a player and he's playing like a $500,000 player, you've done a good job. If you've paid $400,000 for a player and he's playing like a $300,000 player, you've done a poor job. And it's as simple as that. And the clubs that are getting the value out of their players are the ones that are getting success on the field.
All right, Sunday Triple M NRL. Good on you, Paul Kent. Gordon Tallis, Ryan Girdler here for Brighton's Lawyers, protecting your future. There's a couple of the big stories. Benji Marshall back to the West Tigers next year. And Jarryd Hayne still on the Gold Coast for now. Now, the Dogs' salary cap dramas, we'll talk more about that.
Just talking about a salary, can you live up to your salary today and stop underperforming, please, Andy?
They get their value out of me.
Of course they do.
1 o'clock today, we'll talk more about the Dogs' salary cap drama. And, of course, yesterday, the Dragons had a good win over the Gold Coast Titans. We'll speak to Jack DeBellin shortly as well. Here are the highlights from yesterday's game between the Gold Coast Titans and the Dragons as Triple M rocks the footy.
Thanks to Cbus. Whether you're on the tools or in the office, Cbus is built to last. Triple M NRL highlights.
Turns it back inside the man and he goes over for the first try of the game. Sends it out to Nightingale. Oh, he goes in untouched and scores a try for the St. George Illawarra Dragons. Quick hands. Little pass to Joel Thompson and he gets over the line and slams it down. Widdop offloads to Laffey. Laffey's got his winger and Nightingale goes over in the corner and slams down another one. Oh, Thompson's opened them up. He's still going. Thompson. He pops a pass back inside the corner. McInnes to score. Back in field to Copley. Copley might score. He's going to score, Dale Copley. Right out of the post. Tackle four from the play the ball. It goes across now to Ash Taylor. Kicks out to the wing of Tony Dodd. And scores a beautiful Gold Coast Titans try. And about 20 in from touch from that play the ball. Someone scooped out a dummy half. Cameron McInnes. And he'll get try number two this afternoon. And play back to Pitts again. He gets a little pass away to Vavai, I believe. And Vavai goes crashing over the line. Widdop right side. Gets a pull out. The man. Man steps in and out and gets a beautiful try. Right beside the post. There's the full-time siren in the background.
Look at the fans, they're happy.
St. George Illawarra 42. Lead the Gold Coast 16.
The Brighton's Lawyers, protecting your future. This is Sunday Triple M NRL.
The time for talk is over.
With Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis, Ryan Girdler and Anthony Maroon.
Oh, the bunker's getting an absolute flogging today.
Triple M rocks the footy.
And it's a very good afternoon from the beautiful Leichhardt Oval in the middle of Sydney. Clear blue sky for today's couple of big matches coming up today. Important ones for both the Raiders. They take on the Warriors and, of course, Manly take on the West Tigers. We'll have that game for you at 4 o'clock and we'll have updates from the Raiders-Warriors game as well. Dan Ganane, your caller this afternoon. We'll be with you right through the finals, right through to grand finals. So if you haven't got our app, why don't you just download it now onto your phone and do that at triplem.com.au. Ryan Girdler, Paul Kent, Gordon, tell us so far this round. Rabbitohs 28, Dogs 14, Knights 29, Parra 10, Broncos 32, Sharks 10, Dragons 42, Titans 16, Storm 16, Roosters 13, Panthers 24, and Cowboys 16. The game we called yesterday from another great Sydney ground, Cogra Jubilee Oval. Dragons got up over the Titans 42-16. And joining us from that team is Jack DeBellin. Jack, welcome to Sunday Triple M NRL, mate.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Fantastic. And here you guys are just outside of the eight at the moment by 2 points. And you look at the last 3 weeks, Jack, it really didn't have to be that way, did it?
Yeah, I know. It's a bit unfortunate when you look at it. I suppose it's been a year in a nutshell. We've probably had many games there that we should have had the win, but I suppose it didn't go our way and we weren't good enough.
Mate, well, what's the change? Because obviously at the beginning of the year, like, you guys were playing and it looked like a simple game plan. It was powerful and straight up the middle and you were scoring a lot of points. What went wrong about halfway through the year?
Yeah, I'm not too sure there, mate. I don't know where you can pinpoint it or what you can put it down to, but I suppose at the moment we're a bit of a lucky dip. You kind of don't know what you're going to get, and when we're on, we can beat any side, but I suppose when we're not playing that well, even the Wooden Spooners or the bottom-ranked sides can put it over us. So, yeah, we just got to find, obviously, a bit of consistency and turning that top four side that we know we can be.
Well, your destiny is in your own hands, mate. Obviously, next week, go up north, take on the Broncos, and then you got the Panthers, which might be a game for deciding who makes the final eight. So you're in control of your own destiny, and I guess that's a good way to be.
Yeah, it is. I suppose it's on us now. We know that if we want to be playing finals, we've got to turn up and perform every week, and it's pretty much do or die, and we know the importance of every week now, so it's pretty much we just got to turn up or we won't be playing finals.
Jack, what has Mary said to you guys? What did he say to you last night after the game?
Yeah, he was happy, obviously, because we got the win and whatnot, but I suppose even just with the past month or so, just we keep having lapses of concentration there for 10, 20 minutes, and I suppose we've had sides on wooden, and we just let them back in the game, like we did yesterday with Gold Coast, and we were beating them pretty convincingly that they scored a couple of tries in a row, and obviously did it with Manly and sides like that, but it's just, I don't know, that's probably our biggest concern at the moment, is just you can't string an 80-minute performance together.
Well, at the moment, so you guys are sitting ninth on 26 points at the moment, but the good news out of that is that you've got a 99-point difference in your for and against, whereas your Penrith, who are 2 points ahead of you, so they've got a points difference of 59 points. So it really does look more and more like it will come down to that game when you play Penrith in a fortnight, because if you get that, you'll be equal on 28 points, but your points difference will put you ahead of them.
Yeah, well, that's obviously a good thing with the for and against, I suppose. Even though we've lost a lot of close ones there, when we've had a few wins, we've won convincingly and blown a few sides off the park there. So, yeah, our for and against is sitting pretty nice there. So if it obviously does come down to that, yeah, I think we'll be pretty sweet in that regard.
One thing that Mary would be happy about is your form, you know, averaging almost 200 metres a week, and obviously got a little taste of Origin there, went into a couple of camps. So in relation to your personal game, how do you feel your season's been?
Yeah, it's personally been pretty good. Obviously, I suppose every year I've kept building and finally on the fringe now playing Origin, which is pretty exciting. And obviously, I didn't get to taste it, but being around every camp there and being awfully close was pretty exciting. So, yeah, that's done a lot of confidence for me personally. And obviously, it helps when your side's winning. It's a good reflection on yourself, I suppose.
Okay, mate, just before you go, yesterday, Kurt Mann, Josh McCrone didn't play at seven. Kurt Mann came in and did, and he was exceptional, wasn't he? That seems like the solution there when McCrone heads off to the Toronto Wolfpack next year.
Yeah, well, Curdy Mann, yeah, he's...
Ben Hunt goes all right too, Maroon.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
I haven't heard of who's... Yeah, I know. No, of course, Ben Hunt as well, mate, but go on.
I was going to say, with Kurt, like, you look at him, he's obviously not that imposing. He's kind of... a little bit undersized or whatever, but he's honestly as tough as they come, and he's got that Mongo strength where he can just make people miss him, and he's a talented footballer, mate. I suppose that it's kind of a bit of a burden for him that he's such versatile and can play many positions. He kind of hasn't been able to lock one down, but he's been fantastic for us this year, and obviously with Ben Hunt coming next year, I think we're pretty safe in the halves there.
And just one more thing, Jack. I noticed yesterday when we interviewed you after the game, you were saying you were into the more the spiritual side of your life and how you get connected with the earth and spirituality. And I'm just wondering, Gordon's turned up here this morning and he's just got an opinion on everything. He's angry with the steward on the plane. He's blowing up about the taxi drivers. He's blowing up at me for no apparent reason. What can Gordon do, Jack DeBellin, just to calm down a couple of notches?
Just a little bit of like the meditation, mindfulness kind of stuff. That
medication. Good.
Meditation.
Okay.
Just if you've got a lot going on with your mind, just to get it slow down and be with one with the earth.
Be at one with the earth. Okay.
Yeah, well, but just be present.
I know, a little bit out there. I suppose I'm not all about that, but it might help Gordy.
Yeah, thank you. But if my mind slowed down anymore, it'd stop.
Hey, good on you, Jack. All the best for the next couple of weeks,
good on
mate.
You, Jack. See you, mate.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
There he is, Jack DeBellin from the St. George Illawarra Dragons, joining us on Sunday Triple M NRL. Hey, thanks to Bryden's Lawyers.
Why do I have issues?
I don't know, mate. I don't know why. I wonder why.
I don't have an issue.
I wonder why.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah.
The only time I have an issue is on Sundays.
Because of Paul Kent? Is that what you're saying?
No, I see Kenty through the week.
Right.
Yeah,
I see Gerd through the week.
Mate, this is what I think. Now that you've brought this up, I think that guys like you, Wendell, not so much you, Ryan, but definitely you and Wendell, you need to take a gratitude list of all the great things that are going on in your life before you start pouring out all this awful emotion about taxi drivers and people on aeroplanes. And, you know, I mean, you just arrive here and you just, you're like a bull at a gate.
So what did I say about the aeroplane?
I don't want to bring it up again, mate. I don't want to relive it again.
What did I say about the taxi driver? Heavens.
Speaking about a bull at a gate, Raging Bull is your segment where we let you off the chain and let you say what you want about who you want. And if you want to say something about the Qantas plane then, we love Qantas. It's nothing to do with Qantas. If you want to say something about NRL game scheduling or coaches or anything else, you can do that very shortly because we're going to let you off the bull, all right, off the chain. But just before we do that, let me go to the two other games that we had yesterday. Of course, Melbourne getting up right.
You're on some of Jack's medication.
I know. What he said, medication?
I think he said meditation.
Okay.
Roosters, Melbourne, boys, did you want to discuss that game? A very important one for Melbourne. They got up right toward the end there to win that game.
Yeah, it was a great battle, wasn't it? And obviously Melbourne Storm have been so far ahead, but just watching last night that the Roosters, when they got it right, it's going to be a great clash. Melbourne Storm, when the Roosters hit the front with the, you know, I don't know, 6 or so minutes to go, I'm thinking that's a great victory to be down from Melbourne Storm. But then the Melbourne, just the way they just break you down, they keep on asking questions, they never panic. It was a really good, high-quality game of footy, a real gritty, high-quality, high-intense game of rugby league that I liked.
Well, Gerds and I were... He was on the sausage stand, I was on the waffle stand.
Oh, that's right. You guys were at the gentleman.
There's not a lot we can add.
No, I watched it. I taped it. I came and watched it. It was a great performance. I was a little bit surprised. I thought... I didn't think the Roosters would be able to go with Melbourne the way that they did, and I think they'll take a lot of confidence out of that. There was a couple of weird moments in that game, though. There was a... A penalty try that was awarded to Vunivalu, which I didn't agree with. I didn't think it was a certain try. I thought there was...
Because the ball was bouncing.
It wasn't a good kick. Right. But look, I do understand. I like seeing referees, you know, be decisive and show some intestinal fortitude. Hello, Billy, if you're listening. Yeah. At some point, Vunivalu, he scored plenty of tries. He is a genius. And the other one, Gordy...
But isn't it...
Or do you want to discuss that one first?
Yeah, but like... Wasn't he denied the opportunity to pick up the ball? I think that's the ruling because he was denied and the ball was bouncing around.
So then therefore he should have been given 10 minutes, I believe. But I think there can be no question of a doubt if he's going to actually be able to get the ball and put it over and score the try.
Well, that means that there should never be a penalty try because you never know whether they're going to drop the ball because we have blokes over the try line. Like I played with a guy, Chris Walker, that celebrated. There was no one around him and he dropped the ball. So there's no certainty to score
a try. No, there never is. No, that's right.
Well, if that's the case, there should never be a penalty try.
That's right.
I reckon that was very close. Yeah, mate, but... Like then, he was in the clear. He was going to pick up a bouncing ball, and he got tackled from behind, and he got denied the opportunity. Yeah. I think it was a penalty.
So, guys,
it's debatable. What about the other incident, though, in relation to Vunivalu, Gordy? When Vunivalu, the same man we just spoke about, was just basically got the ball off a kick and went back to the line and did like a two-legged karate kick at the defensive line.
He wasn't. He just tried to jump through.
He tried to jump over the defensive line.
He's got to get charged for that.
I've never seen anything like that.
Either.
Yeah.
It's dangerous contact. He's jumped and brought his knees head height.
So when you chase
nothing dangerous?
Down,
nothing dangerous about that, is
no,
it?
Okay.
Nothing dangerous?
Yeah,
just answer me that question. Nothing dangerous.
Not if you don't like your teeth.
Yeah. Hey? You're happy to give your teeth up for...
I like mine.
you should.
There is danger all around you, Paul, then how is that different if you put a kick?
Danger all around you.
So what happens if you put a kick and Billy Slater jumps up and he's got his knees at your head height?
Okay, I'll tell you the difference. I'll tell you the difference. You want to know the difference?
Yeah.
One is the ball is up in the air and it's coming down. The other is the ball is being carried in a forward direction at the defence. And let me tell you this, Gordon, this is where rugby league's got a problem. If they do not charge him for that, then you'll see everybody else start to do it. And then we'll have an issue, and then we'll have to bring in silly rules. If they come out now and they charge him for that, and they get stung with a penalty, then everyone says, you know, can't do that. The game obviously frowns upon it.
Great
if they
ball.
Let him go, we all start doing it because you know why? He starts bashing blokes over and knocking teeth out everywhere.
It's good to see the passion.
Maroon will be on there after the game looking for the teeth that he's sticking in his mouth.
To save a bit of money. But I don't know whether you would get that. I don't know whether you would get that tinge of yellow. But
you can't. He's got to be charged.
Okay, so you led me down that path that because Billy Slater's jumping to catch the ball.
Yeah.
How is that different if I'm a winger and I'm running to score a try and I jump where you see everybody jump now and then their knees are at your head height?
They don't watch it,
and we celebrate it. Hold on, but we celebrate it.
When they do that jumping, they don't leave it. They always leave the ball out in front of them.
They are still jumping, and they're getting it.
Oh,
yeah,
Lord. That's
not
a contact
sport. They're not jumping with their knees.
They're not jumping knee first. The knees were the hardest part of your body. That's why in the UFC, knees are so lethal.
I'm just asking you, so when you're going for a try, you're allowed to jump. Is that what you're saying?
You lead with the ball. Yes, you are allowed to jump.
But when you're running any other time, you're not allowed to jump.
He led with his knees.
Did you see it?
Not that he jumped.
Yeah, I saw it.
Did you think it was normal?
Listen here, get back to your waffle stand.
No. Did you just think that was normal?
I did watch the game.
But listen.
Did you think that's strange that they've penalised him for that?
Listen.
No, I'm just asking, how is it different? I'm just playing the devil's advocate. How is it different when a winger's going to score a try and he's jumping in the air and his knees and elbows and all that are up there?
How is it different? Because he leads with the ball and Vunivalu led with his knees. And Gordon, look, this is a problem that we have often in rugby
league. It's not a problem.
We complicate an
issue. This is the first time I've...
We shouldn't even be having this discussion.
Exactly, Gertz.
This is the problem.
We complicate the discussion by trying to validate it. The point is, it was a dangerous movement. He should be charged, and that will discourage other people from copying it.
What did he get?
Case closed. Case closed.
Another world championship run. He might have been inspired by Sally Pearson, but he's trying to do the hurdles there, Gordon. You know, it can't happen.
Got an email, just got a text here from Jack DeBella, mate. It says, just breathe. Just calm down and breathe, okay? We all love you.
Please, you don't breathe. No, breath is bad.
I love you, Gordon.
I love you.
Ryan loves you and Paul loves you, okay? Yeah. We all love you.
Just
calm down.
Yes. No. We've got to ask the questions. I asked how it was different and it was explained properly.
Sunday Triple M NRL is thanks to Brighton's lawyers. The other game yesterday, of course, was the Cowboys going down to Penrith. And for Penrith, that's, I think, six in a row now. And they are, they've leapfrogged. We were talking about them possibly not being in the eight. And here they are now in sixth position at the moment on 28 points, but Manly have a game in hand today. But Penrith, gee, for a while, Cowboys pushed them, but just didn't have enough in the tank.
Yeah, look, I was really impressed with Penrith's performance. I've been pretty critical of them the last, even though they've been on this sort of five-game winning streak, I don't think they've been sort of playing to their full potential. I don't think they've been playing the style which can sort of get them into the finals and make them beat some of the better teams. But I thought last night was a real step in the right direction, led by their front rowers, who were great. Campbell, Gillard and Tarmow. I think Tarmow probably had his best game in Penrith colours last night. The Cowboys were gallant, weren't they? They got a lot of injuries. They lost Morgan at halftime. And there's a lot of self-belief, and they're a really well-coached side. You can tell that. And they didn't roll over for Penrith at any stage, and I think that was what was most impressive about the win for Penrith. They stuck to the task, and I haven't seen them do that a lot this year. You know, I think when they meet with a lot of resistance in the past with some of the better sides, they've fallen away and they've gone for the big play. But it was a semi-final type game last night. There was a real feel about it. Both sides really ripped in, and I think on the back of that, Penrith move into six. They've got a couple of big games. They play Canberra next week and then the Dragons. So, like the Dragons, their destiny's in their own hands. But in that sort of form, they can get in the finals and they can compete. It was a big step in the right direction.
And Cleary was brilliant. Cleary, with those couple of plays, I just watched him he just rose to the top. He was absolutely...
He's a good kid, isn't he?
Absolutely brilliant. He pushed off...
really good.
I think Temalolo to score his second try. Peachy comes back across. Yep. He put the class that he put on to the end of Penrith's sets, and when the game was in the balance, and I know Michael Morgan went off, and I'd love to see Michael Morgan to be fresh. I think he's playing a bit busted, but he has to for the Cowboys because he's the go-to man. But the Cowboys are, mate, they're
brave, aren't they?
Brave, they're gallant, they're not going away, but just in the end, Penrith stood up, and Cleary, last night, I think he just arrived, and he's been arriving more and more every week. But in the moment, when you're thinking this game's in the balance and the Cowboys were in front, he just grabbed the game by the scruff of the neck.
And fellas, what about the Cowboys now without JT? They've been most of the year, and obviously Matthew Scott were pretty much all year. And now, as valiant, as gallant as they've been, Ryan, they've got in the next 3 weeks, two of their games are the Broncos is one of them.
The Sharks.
And the Sharks is another one. So they are a real genuine chance of missing out.
Yeah, they are. They look tired, though, don't they? I mean, the effort's there. But, yeah, injury-wise, they were without Winterstein and Cooper as well as some of those other names you mentioned last night. And, yeah, now we know that they've got injuries to other key players. Lachlan Coote copped a pretty bad knock last night. So, yeah, I would imagine that, yeah, it's going to be really, really hard for those guys to make it into the eight, which is a shame because, you know, they've been pretty good this season, but they have copped a spate of injuries that it really has affected the back end of their season. And now with St George, who were in good form, obviously after that win, good first half, and then Canberra, well, we wait to see what they're going to do. We think they'll get the Warriors tomorrow, but that game against Penrith. So
today.
Yeah. Against Rain. The Warriors. So, yeah, look, I think the Cowboys could be the one to slide out potentially.
Well, Cowboys got the Sharks next week. Sharks next week.
Yep.
They've got the Tigers, which are Campbelltown. That's the difficulty there. Mm. And then they finish with the Broncos. So they're a side. I like about the Cowboys. They're a side who are very professional. You see teams, and one of my increasingly pet hates in rugby league is when you go to the press conference after the game, or you watch the press conference after the game, and the coach says, "Oh, we just didn't turn up today." And I just think, you know what? You're a professional football team. You're all paid all week to do nothing but prepare for 80 minutes on a weekend. And for some reason, the effort just doesn't arrive with you. It's one thing. I was reading a magazine during the week, Sports Illustrated. Tom Brady.
I'm glad you cleared that up.
Yeah, Tom Brady, right? This is a professional. Tom Brady turned 40 and is hoping to go another 4 or 5 years. He pays for somebody to give him a massage after every training session because he talks about elasticity in his muscles, all this sort of business. But after the Super Bowl, he had a month off. Then he went back.
Has he retired just quickly?
He's talked about playing another
5 years.
Wow.
So he's 40. He's the only Super Bowl to win, only quarterback to win 5 Super Bowl rings. There's every right for Tom Brady to rest on his laurels. There's every right to think, I'm a professional player. I don't need to do this or that. I know what it takes to quote rugby league players, get my body ready. He finished the Super Bowl. And while he was technically on holidays, he still went and trained every day, whether it was riding a bike or going doing weights or whatever. And a month after the Super Bowl, he went back and he reviewed every play from their season, every ball he threw, every handoff he made from their season. He went through every play in every game twice. He went through it twice. That is a professional who gets himself ready for a game. We have this idea of professionalism in rugby league whereby I don't need to work, so therefore I'm a professional rugby league player. And it basically ends there. They prefer to play Friday night, so then they go out and get on the drink Saturday night. And have Sunday night too if they like. And I see these teams don't turn up the games, and I just wonder what's going wrong with them. And you know, I look at the Warriors, for example. They're not professional rugby league players. Yeah. They don't apply themselves. The Raiders haven't been professional this year. The Raiders have been almost arrogant with the way that they've treated, we've always got next week. They've got so much talent there that they've always basically played like they know that when the push comes to shove, they can turn it on and it can arrive. Well, they've nearly blown that chance. They're now running a very fine line. I think the Cowboys, though, are a professional team who are busted and broken, who have got their best players sitting on the sideline, yet they're turning up every week and they want to win. Right. And Melbourne, you throw into that. Melbourne are so professional the way they do things.
And if I had to take my clothes off in front of Giselle, I'd train every day as well.
Sunday Triple M NRLS. Thank you.
You'll never be training every day then, Gordon.
Protecting your future. And we'll have updates from Raiders game too very shortly when it starts at 2 o'clock. For Mongrel Boots, big show still to come. Kenny and the boys will talk dogs, salary cap drama. More about that. West Tigers legend John Skandalis joins us as well. And Brent Reed, it's all coming up. So stay with us because we'll do the Raging Bull next as Triple M rocks the footy.
Never miss a minute of the footy. Download the Triple M NRL app and listen anywhere. The Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. This is Sunday Triple M NRL.
Put your clothes on, Gerds. It's not over yet.
With Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis, Ryan Girdler and Anthony Maroon. Triple M rocks the footy.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome back to Leichhardt Oval in Sydney. It's a beautiful venue. I remember being here as a kid watching the great Neil Pringle and Larry Corowa and Wayne Wigham running around along with the late, great Alan McMahon in the centres and Dennis Bendel. They were great days. It's a great venue too. Now, the scores so far in this round, Rabbitohs beat the Dogs 28-14. That's two wins in a row for the Rabbitohs. Knights 29, Parramatta 10, 3 for the Knights. Broncos 32, Sharks 10, Dragons 42, Titans 16, Storm 16, Roosters 13, Panthers 24, Cowboys 16. That's all thanks to Tyre Power. You buy three, you get one free on a selected range of BF Goodrich passenger car, SUV, and sports performance tyres. Ryan Girdler, Gordon Tallis, and so too Paul Kent and Maroon. And now it is time for this. This is where we let him off the chain, the bull, and he just goes for a rage. He comes up with some topics and he sets them up and he knocks them down. They might be rugby league related, sure, but they just might not be. Raging Bull, what are you raging about today, Gordon Tallis?
Well, there's so many things. I will give you a raging good one.
Right. It was a passive start, wasn't it?
You're going to give me a raging good one. And it's not even Father's Day. Yeah. Sorry, go on.
Sponsored by Red Rock Deli Chips.
Hey, righto.
What are you laughing at?
I'm not laughing at anything.
You are laughing at something.
Yes, because he said he was going to give me a raging good one. That's what I'm laughing at.
No, you brought that up. No, look, I think through the week, like we have so much where coaches could promote their game, you know, and get it on the front and back page of the paper for different reasons, and it's not bagging referees. And like so many times I hear coaches talk and they can't talk to their players anymore about this and that because, you know, they're bred different and, you know, some you got to cuddle, some you got to do this. But yet after a game, they can have 10 minutes and it'll be calculated and I'll go to their CEO or their chairperson and say, I'm going to give it to this referee today and I want you to back me because they won't do it without getting the club's backing. So when they go sit in the press conference and they put pressure or they bag a referee and say that they're incompetent, they're not up to it, it's not NRL standard, and yet those referees that go out there and do their best every week, they don't want to make mistakes, they have the same feelings as their players do, but they won't talk about the players, won't talk about the opposition, won't talk about their job, whether they come up with the wrong game plan. So that's one thing that is raging.
But well, you'd have to be happy then this week with Flanagan and Bennett.
That's what I'm getting to. Flanagan. So, like, then you had Flano and Wayne, and I don't know where the rumour started about Jack Bird, whatever, but it was great. It was Wayne Bennett talking about this and that. Wayne Bennett's been talking about Newcastle, put a bit of pressure on Ash Taylor and the Titans last week. They come up with 50 points, and this week, and then Flanagan, instead of standing there and saying, oh, well, listen, I don't care, you know, mate, I'm here to coach my footy side, he said, I don't care what Wayne Bennett's got to say. I couldn't care what Brisbane are doing. I just care about mine. And then I love that. He didn't disrespect Wayne, but I thought that was brewing for the game, and I'd love to see some more of it. I remember when I was at the Dragons with Wayne and Brian Smith, their rivalry. I'm pretty sure Gus would have had some rivalries in his day, but I think it's absolutely fantastic, and it's only good for the game if our coaches can start promoting it by getting into an opposition team.
Would you like to see players be a little bit more honest in that regard?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Bring it on. Like, you know, when you're going
there
one day...
They just get crushed by the public. That's the hardest thing for players.
No, they get told by their coaches, mate, listen, don't give them anything this week, boys, is what we're doing. Don't give them anything. Don't give it away. Where I remember once where I was standing in the press conference and then I'm thinking, don't give them anything. And I'm saying, don't give them anything. And then they said, oh, about Gus Gould. I said, is he playing, is he? Because Gus was saying something about us. I said, well, listen, when Gus runs out on the footy field, I'll take notice. But until he plays against me, so, you know, I mean, I think I'd love for players, you know, if someone's saying that they're going to give it to me, I'd say, well, bring it on.
Own it.
Good
yeah.
luck. Own it and say, bring it on, because that's what you're thinking.
The biggest sporting event of the past 10 years is about to take place in a fortnight when Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather get in the ring. Now, from a purely pugilistic point of view, the fight's going to last three rounds.
Either way.
Mayweather should kill him, and Conor gets a lucky punch if he can win. That's how he wins, right? He just jags a punch and knocks him out. But they have been absolutely feral, the way they're talking about each other. And they're into each other, and Conor, his little peanut head, how's he going to knock me out? One shot on that little peanut head, I'll knock him out. they just, it's ongoing.
His hands will crumble when they hit him.
But during their press run, they had to change venues so more people would get tickets to turn up. They were selling out their press conferences.
Unbelievable.
Their press conferences. This isn't the fight. You can't tell me this. It can get absurd, But we need some more honesty in the game where people actually say what they genuinely feel and more importantly, stand by what they say. And I think it's good for the game. I think that's always been a strength of rugby league, that there was always this unfiltered energy about what they say about each other and how they see the game. And I thought absolutely this week, well done Shane Flanagan, well done Wayne Bennett.
To a lesser extent, when I used to talk to Anthony Mundine about fighters, I'd talk to him, you know, off the record, we're sitting having a coffee or whatever, and he'd go, I know this bloke can fight, he's really good. In a press conference, he would say all this ridiculous things, but he said if he would rap the other fighter or not say anything,
yeah,
the money wouldn't come in. If he started saying ridiculous things, people would sign up to watch the fight. And most of the time, they'd sign up to watch him lose. And that's what's happening now with McGregor and Mayweather. They have everybody that you talk to has an opinion on who's going to win and why, simply on what the fighters have been saying about each other.
Righto, what has the Raging Bull got today that involves rugby league or something else, and it's got the Raging Bull fired up?
Well, I was listening to the Saturday show, so I was having a really disappointing Saturday as well. But, mate, I was driving around and, Paul Crawley come on, who's a journalist at the, tally, and I was talking about Richie Faiosa, and it was a really good story about, like a feel good story about how rugby league got him here, there, everywhere, and, you know, what he's been offered. And I've been retired now for 13 and 14 years. And I
got better every year too, just quietly.
Hey?
Got better every year too.
Got better every year, yeah, absolutely. As we all do, but I've got offered all those same things. And we're talking about drugs, and he got addicted, I think it was cocaine and all these things and pills and now ice and all that. I get offered that now. I still get offered them right now, and I'm a 44-year-old man that if you know anything about rugby league, you know that I'm against drugs, but yet I still get offered them. So those things in life are always going to be in front of you. It's called the real world. I thought when I was in rugby league, I was sheltered from the real world. People probably left me alone because I thought, well, this guy's an athlete. And I just get sick, and I think Wendell Saylor knocked it on the head. You've got to take ownership of your own actions. And when people go, oh, well, the game did this, the game did that, and I was here and I didn't have... The game's not a rehab centre, and it's not a child...
Gordon, I think you're missing the
child point. Mining centre. No, this is my point. This is my section. Can we get him one too? And basically, Paul, mine is I would just love people to take accountability for their own actions. And then, fair enough,
he is.
The game can do
he
more.
He is taking accountability.
But then he's blaming everything else.
He's not blaming anything. He took the drugs. He's taken accountability.
He said that he didn't feel like the game was there for him. He didn't feel this, and now he's in rehab. That they feel for him. Well, you're in a rehab clinic. Of course, that's their job. Rugby league is to coach you to go out there on Sunday to play good. And yes, they got to do it. It's like school, mate. If I get expelled from school, do I blame the school or do I blame myself for going there and playing up in class?
I think
you can't be one of those parents that blame the school.
I think rugby league in the real world, let's talk about the real world.
Yep.
Rugby league is an environment that is not real, okay? And so what happens is you go to nightclubs and you've only got to look at Jesse Bromwich and Kevin Proctor, who were offered free drugs. Who is offered by a stranger free drugs? Whoever in the real world. Because you're not in the real world. You're an ex-player.
That's what I'm saying.
You're an Origin player. That's not the real world.
But what's wrong with saying no?
There's nothing wrong
because
with saying no.
Because it's doing the wrong thing.
But then once you're within that club culture and you sit down and you see other senior players at the club, and you're 19 and 20 years old, and you're very naive to the world, and you see other players who are older than you, who you've looked up to since you've been 14.
I saw that.
Okay, let's take you out of the picture. Let's just paint the real picture of what actually happens in the club when you see the senior player doing things, and you think, well, okay, he can get away with that, so maybe I can too. And the senior player is suddenly out having a beer with you, and he says, mate, do you want to do a line? And you think, wow, I'm here with...
whoever,
our captain, and this is what he's offering me. That it skews your sense of values, and we see it in the entertainment industry, we see it in the music industry.
I think that's where you're wrong because my values are what my parents give me. So every time I do something,
of course they are. And what were his
upbringing.
Parents? And what were What was his upbringing?
I don't know, but I'm just.
I'll tell you what his upbringing was in the story. His upbringing was his dad abandoned them.
You still know right and wrong.
His dad abandoned him when he was a kid, and his mother was an alcoholic.
This is not about Richie. This is about people taking account.
It is about Richie. It's about talk about the values. He had no father, and his mum was a drunk. That's what he's brought up on.
Hold on, but then everybody gets up James Roberts and they get up Blake Ferguson and all that. They like have the same life, but they try to make the right decision.
Of course every they, time do. They do. Of course they're trying to make the right decision. And when they falter, people kick him up the backside and say, don't do it again. But they're still playing because rugby league's a forgiving game and people...
Well, rugby league has kept them off the streets. They probably kept
them out.
There
is that argument. Of course there's that argument.
So then when you leave, you can't go, oh, well, this is a problem now. This is all this and this and this.
But Richie Faioso was asked about it. He didn't come out and say, listen, everybody feels sorry for me.
He was asked some other questions that he didn't answer.
But but he didn't say, look, I want people to feel sorry for me. Come out and talk about this. Oh, someone listen to me because I want to shit-pot the game. He didn't do that. He was asked a question. He was approached about it.
I get all that. And it comes back to me, like, with the concussion and all that. And I understand. And it's sad. But I knew when I took the field what could happen.
Of course, I knew.
And that's why you paid the $700, $1 million or whatever. Because when you play the rugby league...
But he wasn't paid $700. Yeah. I'll walk to Newcastle and back if he's ever paid $700.
Mate, whatever it's paid.
Richie Faioso, please.
Whatever it's paid.
All right. That is the Raging Bull for today. But we have a brand segment now.
Oh, and it's, well, you tend to jump in. If he didn't jump in, it would have went for 2 minutes.
I just tried to make it interesting.
Now it is time. On Sunday Triple M NRL, it is time for a brand new segment, and here it is.
Intercepted. And at the old league from the point. He's in front by five. They're coming at him. And Sarpri. Gerdler makes it. Gerdler pulls out every ounce of seven.
The Rage.
It's a brand new segment.
Oh, the Raging Rhino. Yeah. Well, he's a little bit cranky this morning because he woke up and he didn't listen to the radio on the way in. And he didn't know half of the streets in Sydney
were blocked
because of the bloody city to serve to these idiots in Lycra and Speedos running from Sydney to Bondi Beach. So the Raging Rhino was stuck in traffic and then sent the wrong way before he came to Leichhardt today, and he's not happy about that.
Haven't you ever done the city to surf, Rhino?
No, I've never done it.
Oh, it's a brilliant day.
I've never done it.
Yeah, I've done it in a cab. I might do it again tonight.
I'm sure you have. Down to the Golden Sheep, then down to Bondi. Honestly, you've never done
the city. I've never done a fun run, no.
It's a great day.
No. Not by choice.
No,
I've run
wait.
A lot.
How's running
when I've
fun?
Been made to.
No, it's a great day.
Hell well, is you running come out, fun.
But did everyone know that this was on today? Did everyone else bypass the city?
Yes, because my...
No, I got
did you
caught.
Get stuck?
I got caught.
Yes. How did that make you feel, Paul?
I'm not a road rager as such.
Because his pillow slipped from underneath him, he couldn't see.
But there was a level of frustration.
Yeah.
I tried to... get through the city and there was coppers there with barricades saying you got to... But the thing is that there was a sign that said detour, so you had to sort of turn right where I was. But after that right turn, there was no more signs to tell you how you actually...
Do your best.
...get through the city.
No, do your
because
best.
Because to get through the city, they've cut off so many roads and I actually zigzagged through the city to try and... to get here. I thought I was going to be late at one point. Mm.
For the Queensland listeners, where does it start and where does it finish?
Starts in the city and goes to
where?
The surf.
Like,
it
Street
starts at near the museum in Wiggins
so
Street.
Know.
Okay, no, I've never run it.
All right,
seriously,
boys.
I've got a hangover every time.
Come on, Maroon. Where does it start?
It starts at the top of William Street near Hyde Park.
Yep.
And it goes down through past the Sheaf, up Heartbreak
through
Hill.
Through Double Bay, yeah.
Down into Double Bay. Then it goes down to Bondi Beach, the length of Bondi Beach, and then back to the North Bondi RSL. And just around there, it sort of finishes. I've done it several times.
Have you really?
Yes, I have.
Did you finish it at all?
I finished. One year I did it in 67 minutes.
Okay.
No way.
Yes, I did.
I challenge that.
Well, I'm sure I can get around there quicker than you.
Oh,
don't worry about
it's
that.
On. It's on.
Oh
come on.
I will
We've
do
got
it.
To do it. Let's
I'll
go.
I'll take you on. I'll race you around.
Look at Gordon. He's backing down from the
fair dinkum.
He's backing down. The Raging Bull. He's becoming a little mouse.
Strong points.
It's on, brother. It's on. It's on. All
the
right.
The challenge is there. Come on, Gordy. Accept.
Why don't you run it? Because you two are the same weight.
I've got a bad
I know there's a height difference.
What is it? 14. How many K?
14 K.
14 Ks.
I can do
that. You eat that up.
That, Gordon.
You eat that up.
All right.
Come on, do it.
We'll wrap it up.
Do
we'll
it.
We'll talk about it in the
peer
break.
Peer group pressure. Yeah, I'll do it. My captain told me to.
We'll come back and we'll talk about the Dogs' salary cap drama. Who do they offload? Ryan Girdler, Gordon Tallis, Paul Ken and Maroon. Sunday Triple M NRL as we rock the footy.
Triple M rocks Sunday Arvo footy for Brighton's lawyers. Protecting your future.